time for another Sean Short on Always Another Game podcast. Thank you for everybody joining me today. I want to talk to you about whether the door is always open. And some of you may know this from dealing with bosses in the past or coaches, where you hear the term that my door's always open. And what I've noticed a lot in my playing career, more so because I haven't been in the employed industry for so long, I've been self-employed for 13 years now. But in that time, what I noticed is a lot of coaches would say, my door's always open. Yet myself and other players felt that they couldn't actually talk to that person. And sometimes it's easy to say something, but you're showing up in a different way. And I don't know whether you've experienced this at all within work, where you needed to talk to your boss or a colleague about something very important, but you knew you couldn't share it in fear of being judged or that they would mock you and laugh at you. So your best way to do this was to do nothing. Now, many of you may not know, there's a big part of why this podcast was created that I haven't spoken about too much, which was in ice hockey over the years, we've lost a number of great people to mental health. And I wanted to kind of share this podcast in a way that you can overcome stuff. There is life away from the game. If you've always wanted to coach in hockey or sport, but you haven't been able to, you can still coach in other ways. You can still share your story and share your passion outside of the game. And a lot of what comes with mental health is communication and being able to, because we get told a lot when these mental health days comes up or when something happens that you've got to talk to somebody. And my question always is okay, well, how come people aren't doing it? How come they're not? And, you know, you get all this sorts of stuff about timing and things like that. And I want to kind of share a few things today, which I've learned in my coaching career in life after hockey, in how I work with clients, or the amount of times I've heard people say, Sean, you should be a therapist. They're saying if I had a pound for every time, I'd probably be able to afford a couple of McDonald's Happy Meals. But there are ways of approaching communication. That this is shouting out mainly to coaches, to leaders, to parents, to bosses, anybody that has any form of leadership role in life. You need to know the words you say aren't necessarily coming across in the actions, in your body actions, or actually in your other words, you know, in the rest of your time. If you're creating an uncomfortable environment for somebody, just saying my door is always open, they can feel and sense the difference. So one thing you really got to have is you've got to have, and I've learned this a lot over my past few years, is you've got to have empathy. You've got to care about that other person with no gains for yourself. Okay, there might be some small gains in terms of coaching, that the better you are at caring and the better you are at empathy, you'll get better clients and more clients. I do get that. But you do truly have to care about that human being and what they actually may be going through. I started to see this more in my latter part of my playing career. You would see players around you that were struggling. And in the past, it would just be like, come on, toughen up. We just lost. Don't worry about it. But actually, there was more going on that you were let into. And it was only now that I've kind of finished playing that I realized, oh, okay, yeah, there was a lot more going on that I didn't know about and didn't even think was possible. And that's a big part of empathy, is that you do have to realize that there are other lives going on out there and other things going on that you have to understand will take over somebody's life. And you know, you have to be able to support in that way. You can look at it in a way, physically, is your door open? I was working with a client once, a high up teacher in a school, I believe a deputy head, and her door was physically open and people used to come in all the time. We had a boundary issue and a time issue. So we actually at one point had to go to closing the door at set times so that she was able to get things done. But actually having that door physically open allowed the employees the comfortability, is that a word, to come in and talk to her and ask for advice or support or whatever they needed. So if you're saying the door's always open, and your office door, your coaching door is shut, people see that as a sign. It's closed. Do not come in. So sometimes you might have to physically open it. Sometimes you might need to physically close it if it's your boundaries that are being affected. Another one within communication is your tonality. A lot of top sales reps now work on tonality in a psychological way to entice sales. For me, tonality is vital to gaining trust. I have a lot of people come to me and tell me stuff that they probably wouldn't tell a close family member because maybe of what I do or because I'm not a family member, it's easier to tell me. But your tonality is so important because as humans, we are driven in to defend ourselves. It's our mammal brain. You know, somebody, if there's an attack back in the day, we would defend ourselves and we protect our tribe and our caves and all and whatever else. So, but what we do often, we don't necessarily always realize, and sometimes even it comes from a place of love, is our tonality is wrong. So if I use an example, if a client hasn't completed a food diary for me, for instance, if I said, why haven't you completed your food diary? That's an attacking tone. And their first instinct as a human would be shut down and defend. I'm now not going to get any of the answers that I wanted. I might not get anything, or I might get a roundabout way to what potentially happened. So what I've tried to do is I've tried to eliminate words such as why, and but, and however, words that are that do offer more of an attacking tone, and replace them with more hows and whats. I learned this actually in a fantastic book called Never Split the Difference. It's a fantastic negotiating and communication book that anybody's that interested in reading it from a former FBI terrorist negotiator, but fantastic communication book as well. And when you use whats and hows, you start opening up the conversation and giving people a safe place to be able to talk. Now, that could even come across wrong. How come you haven't done that? What's the reason you weren't able to do that this week? Can you see just in that quick tonality change there from even when using a how in an attacking tone and using a what in a more of a defensive or easy, a lighter tone, you would be more likely to be willing to answer the question. And then you can find out some more information. And that's what you're trying to do as a coach or a leader or a parent, is you are trying to find out more information. So even though you might have your best, their best interests in heart, whoever you're dealing with, your kids, your player, the way you go about it can affect whether they open up or not. Because if they feel like they're being attacked, even though you're not physically attacking or even shouting, why haven't you done your food diary? It can still come across as a little bit on the offense. And I don't mean offense as offensive. I mean offense as in attacking forward play, sport analogy. So that's just a few things to consider. So how can you go about that? Now, I've gained a lot of my communication skills and understanding, not only through my own journey, but from reading. There's been some fantastic books that I've come across. I've just mentioned there, Never Split the Difference. There's a guy that talks about it all the time on Instagram, Jeremy Minor, but he talks about tonality a lot. How to Win Friends and Influence People is another fantastic communication book. There's a whole bunch out there that you can go and read and learn from. But if you are a leadership in any role in life, I would highly advise you improving your communication skills and your empathy towards somebody and just creating that pause. Just because somebody, you know, you think somebody's upset that they didn't play enough minutes, or you think your kid's upset because they didn't get a T-Rex in a turkey dinosaur instead of a Stegosaurus, there could be something else going on. And to have the empathy to listen and understand what that could be is a game changer in terms of mental health. And we can all start to get better at this. And then we will hopefully start to help more people that are struggling with mental health issues. And we can stop losing people that we care about and we love so early on in their life when they don't need to. So if you've taken anything away from today, or if you've got any input that you would like to add to this podcast about mental health, I would love to sit down and talk to you. I think it's a very important topic in sport. Please let me know. If you've just taken anything away from listening and you feel somebody needs to hear this, a parent, a leader, a coach, a boss, please share it with them directly. This podcast is aimed at just helping one person on each episode. And as the episodes stack up, we are doing just that. Just from the feedback I'm getting, we are helping at least one person on each episode, and I absolutely love it. So thank you so much for joining me today. Please share away. And remember, there is always another game.